Blog Talk Radio.
All right. Let's play some music.
There's a love hanging over me. I can't see your face no more.
This evening, we're going to begin a series concerning what Jesus calls the most important commandment, literally the Bible in a nutshell. This is considered one of the most important teachings of Jesus, along with John 3:16 and Matthew 28:19-20. These are literally words to study and live by. If someone were to ask me, where should I start after accepting Jesus Christ, after becoming a Christian, I would say start right here. My hope is you will listen to this series over the next 5 weeks and learn together with me what Jesus considered the greatest commandment, and then let us apply it to our lives. But first, let us pray. Lord God, we praise your name because you have set up a mercy seat on earth, because you forgave our sins through the blood of Jesus Christ. May your mercy be seen at work in many hearts, Lord. Shed your light upon all people and let your glory be known, Lord. Let your glory shine in all the hearts through the praise of your name and deliverance of those who are still in misery, Lord. Keep us in your word, which works miracles, Lord. Protect us in all that Jesus Christ has brought to the earth, and may we use his gifts and simplicity of heart. Grant that much may be accomplished to the glory of your name, and that we may draw nearer to the day of Jesus Christ, for which we will wait in hope and longing. And we pray this in the mighty precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So, in the book of Mark, we find Jesus discussing and debating with a group of scribes, Jewish religious teachers, as you know. He held on his own because, let me let you in on a little secret, Jesus is God. And when you argue with God, he always wins. Anyway, one of the scribes, literally Jewish religious warriors, heard what Jesus said and asked him, what is the most important commandment? Now, you might think this is an interesting question, but you need to understand why he asked it. To become a scribe, you had to study the Old Testament. You had to memorize huge portions of it. You had to sit at the feet of great Jewish teachers, and you would have to debate and discuss Scripture continually. In fact, the Jewish religious teachers had broken down the Old Testament to 613 different commandments. 365 of them were negative, and 248 of them were positive. They even divided them further into heavy and light commandments, more important and less important. So now you have a better understanding on why this scribe asked Jesus the question. It really is simple stated. Jesus, of all the 613 commandments, which is the most important, I think today in these following 5 weeks we need to ask ourselves this question. If Jesus says this is the most important commandment, and what does it mean for me, how am I living up to it, and how does my life measure up to it, and what am I going to do about it? Amen? So loving God with all your heart, hear, O Israel. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts and press them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 7. So Jesus was, the first part of his answer comes from that, from what every Jewish person was taught from childhood. Comes from the part of Scripture that the Jews called the Shema, which literally means hear. It's so important to the Jews that they were told to recite it twice a day, in the morning and in the evening. It was so important they were told to recite it upon their last breath on earth. Some chose to write it on a piece of paper and put it in a small box called a phylactery. They would tie on their forehead and wrist and even put it in the box they would place at their door called a mezuzah, words to live by. So your heart is the essence of who you are. You brought of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For out of the overflow of the heart, mouth speaks. Matthew chapter 12, verse 34. So to the Jewish mind, the heart reflects who you are. They use the word heart to define all that a man is, what he thinks, what he does, and what he says. Your heart is the center of your intellect. For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7. Also realize that he had no understanding of the brain and its workings back then, so they used heart as the center of your knowledge and thoughts, who were publicly first began with who you were privately in your heart. Your heart is the seat of your conscience. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26. The Bible speaks of trusting God with our heart, giving our whole heart here, recognizing we need a new start, a new heart, not one corrupted by sin, but one that now is filled with the Savior, because we are born into sin and corrupted by that sin. We need not better our heart, but a new and transformed heart. We need a God-directed heart. Now that we understand the meaning of our heart in the Bible, how do we express that love? To love God with all your heart is worship. Jesus answered, it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Luke chapter 4, verse 8. So worship is expressing our love for God. Worship is more than just singing. Worship is an action of attributing worth to something or someone. The word worship actually comes from the Old English Gaelic word that would be translated worship. Giving or showing worth to something, we can worship anything. I've seen some men worship their cars, worship their job, worship their family, etc. And that is not wrong in and of itself, as long as that worship doesn't take first place. Worship is the expression of what is most important to you. Worship is not just what we say, it's what we do about it. You know, what you worship by looking at your calendar, by looking at your checkbook, I think any one of us could look someone's bank statement and someone's schedule and someone's social media post and pretty much figure out their worship. But truth is, most of us have only one real competition with our worship of God, and it's simply our worship of ourselves. So worship of God is always tied to submission and service. So the word for worship in the Bible is tied to the word used for a servant who submits to and serves his king. The Old Testament word used for worship really means to bow down to, prostrate before, they offer total service to. This is what worship is. Recognizing that all I have and all I can ever be becomes directly as a gift from God. And how I bow my knee to his mercy, love, wisdom, direction, provision, salvation, he alone deserves my worship. So how do we know if we love God with all our hearts? How do we discover if anything or anyone has replaced our worship of God? How do we measure our love? What are the marks of true worship? The measure of our love is the marks of our worship. In Luke chapter 6, verse 46, and why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? So love is an action, not just a feeling. We can say we love God all day long, that we worship him, but our actions must prove different. There are three distinct areas that prove our love for God, and our love for God is, in fact, these things relate to everything we claim to love. First, we worship God with our time. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, and let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage and warn each other, especially now that the day of us coming back again is drawing near. So we prove our love for God, our worship to God with our time, the time we spend with him and the time we spend with the other believers. This COVID-19 pandemic has shown us that church is still the church, whether we can meet together or not. But do you know the studies have shown that around a third of the church in America says they have not connected with the church online or in person since this happened? That doesn't show much love. That doesn't show much worship. What does your calendar, your time reveal to you about your loving God with all your heart? Do you need to confess and recommit to him? You need him and his church family in your life. Let's get this right. We worship God with our talents. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. However, he has given each one of us special gift according to the generosity of Christ. That is why Scripture says, then when we ascended to the heights, he had led a crowd of captives and gave gifts to his people. So we prove our love for God our worship to God by utilizing the talents He has given us for His glory. If God made you fast, then run for His glory. If He gave you the ability to make money, then do it for His glory. If God gave you the gift of teaching, then teach for His glory. If God has made you good with your hands, then fix and build for His glory. That is worship. Your work is your worship and your witness. I have known some Christians that always bellyached about their job, never happy, never satisfied, never realizing that maybe, just maybe, God put them where they were to help them grow, mature, or to be a witness to others. God has given you your gifts and talents for His glory, and your good attitude, and ask God to forgive you and help you worship through your work and through the service. Now this is a good time to do it. Then lastly, we worship God with our treasures. Matthew chapter 6, verse 21, wherever your treasure is, there your heart and thoughts will also be. So God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. The Bible says the earth is the Lord's and all that is in it, the Bible says. So why does God need me to worship Him by giving? I have a biblical answer for that, and you will get it, but let me ask you a question. If you are married and have an anniversary, why do you buy your spouse a gift, or a birthday present, or a Christmas present? Do they need it? Get the picture? Giving is one of the greatest marks of our love and our worship. We live in such a me-first society that we almost forgotten the joy of giving, the necessity of giving. God doesn't need your treasures, but you need God's involvement in your treasures, and the way He teaches us to trust Him is through our tithes and offerings. I need you to hear this. The only place God said we could test Him is in our giving a tithe, a tenth of our income. And He said if we have the faith to give back 10% for the work of His ministry, He would bless us way beyond that. Malachi chapter 3. But also, hear me say this. God wants to teach us not to be stingy and selfish. The best way to do this is by teaching us to give. You can't outgive God. And bottom line, God doesn't bless fear over faith. He doesn't bless stingy over sacrifice. Now is a good time to get this right. Confess you withholding God's tithes and allow God to bless you through your sharing your treasures for His glory. Closing challenge, how is your love? How is your worship? Today is a good day to get honest with yourself and to get honest with God. If you have let something take first place for your love, take first place for your worship, today recommit to Him and ask Him to help you put Him in the first place in your life. Let us pray. Dear Father in heaven, we love and honor You, Your ways, even when they are bitter ways. We long for courage and strength. Lord, help us to believe. Grant faith to millions surrounded by death, faith that overcomes everything through your utmost self-denial. Let your light shine out to bring out life to the nations and during all that is happening. Your light shall lead and guide us, and peace will come, a deeper peace than we've ever known. Remember each of us and all our concerns, and grant that the struggles of life may lead to peace. As hard and bitter ways should be our lot, help us to remain steadfast, never complaining about our burdens, even in the most difficult days. For through grief and trouble, the way leads to You. Amen. And we pray this in the mighty, precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, I'm going to give you an opportunity to get to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. But first, let me ask you, are you tired of traveling down this long and dusty road and never knowing which way is up or down or which way to go? Maybe you lack purpose in life and need some. Or maybe you suffer from depression and anxiety. Maybe you suffer from something more and worse, such as an addiction to alcohol or drugs, sexual morality, gambling, overeating, whatever the problem may be, the Lord can take it away. But in order for Him to do so, He's got to know you. If He doesn't know you, He can't do nothing for you. So the question tonight is, do you want to get to know the Lord Jesus If so, say this prayer after me. Say, dear God in heaven, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I acknowledge to you that I'm a sinner, and I'm so sorry for my sins and the life that I have lived. I so desperately need your forgiveness. I believe that your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, shed his precious blood on the cross of Calvary and died for my sins, and I'm now willing to turn from my sin. You said in your holy word in Romans 10:9 that if we confess the Lord of God and believe in our hearts that God raised Jesus from the dead, we shall be saved. So right now, I confess Jesus as Lord of my soul. With my heart, I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. This very moment, I accept Jesus Christ as my own personal Savior, and according to his word, right now I am saved. So I want to say thank you, for Jesus, for your unlimited grace, which has saved me from my sins. I also thank you, Jesus, that your grace never leaves a license, but rather it always leads to repentance. So therefore, Lord Jesus, transform my life so I may bring glory and honor to you alone, and not to myself. And once again, I want to thank you, Jesus, for dying for me and giving me the precious gift of eternal life. And we pray this in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Did you pray and receive Christ? Please give us your name so we can pray for you. And you can do this by calling in to area code 657-383-1487. Once again, the area code is 657-383-1487, and press the 1 key. When you press the 1 key, you'll come on live and tell us that you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. And if you said this prayer, we welcome you into the family of the Lord, and may the Lord bless you, and may he keep you highly favored. Amen. Enjoyed the sermon for tonight. Yes, amen. I hope you enjoyed the service. Let's play some of your music.
Kenny, Steve City, how you
hey,
doing?
Hey, Don, how you doing?
I'm doing great, man. How's the show going, brother?
It's going by really, really well, I think so.
Has anybody else called in tonight, or has it just been you rolling solo tonight?
It's just you for right now.
Oh. Well, Kenny, I just wanted to call in, man, and just check in to see how you were doing. You know, just see how everyone was. How's Tony doing? Is he doing well?
Yeah, he's doing okay.
I'm doing fine. How are you doing?
I'm good, man. I'm glad to hear it. I just wanted to call in and see what the message was tonight. Because I'll be honest, I got in a little late on the show, so I wasn't really sure what the topic was tonight. Was there a specific topic?
I gave a sermon. It was titled "Love God with All Your Heart."
Oh, I mean, yeah, that's a beautiful thing, you know, when you can really embrace the Lord and God and have that kind of relationship with Him, and you know, when you kind of become one, and it's like one hand washes the other. You know, you do the right thing, and the Lord will look out for you. And I'm learning that with through my sobriety, and it's really been an interesting kind of transformation for me, going from someone who was really not on a godly path, and then now trying to really be a good man at root, and also, you know, stay away from the things that in life that can send you off the wrong path. So I really appreciate you sharing that. I'm sad that I missed it, but Kenny, I'm really glad that you shared that, because that's a really, really, really great message to pass along to your listeners.
Amen.
Amen, brother. Have you received any other callers, or am I the only one?
You're the only one.
Or, you know, it's crazy to me that nobody else is calling in, because
somebody just pushed the number one key. Let me pick him up.
Okay. All right.
111, you're on the air.
Hello, Ken. This is Johnny.
Hello. Hey,
oh.
Johnny.
I just
Johnny,
asked
how you doing?
Farrar to, I'm good. I just asked Farrar to post a link to the sermon that you read. And I haven't got an answer back yet.
That wasn't off of First 15, by the way.
Oh, really?
Oh, no. Kenny, I don't think Johnny's asking that. I think he just wants to be able to follow along and you know, really understand the word. You know what I mean? It's very difficult when you read it to really take that, you know, take it to heart, because you try to – you read it and it just flies by. When you can look at it, you can really – you know what I'm saying, Kenny? When you read the Bible, you can really stop in it and really take in some of the verses. You know what I mean? Is that fair, Johnny, what I'm saying?
Yeah, I agree. And sometimes there's someone that comes in this chat room and he posts the sermon as Ken is reading it, and that way people can follow along. I know Mad Mark likes to do that. I don't know if Tony Farrar could possibly help by posting that link, or if he's not, maybe he's blocked me or something. I don't know.
No, he hasn't blocked you.
That doesn't sound like Tony. I mean, listen, Kenny, I mean, I don't know if you agree with this, but I actually, you know, think it would be a good idea just to post a sermon so people can really follow along and get a better feel for what you're reading, because sometimes when you're reading it along, it's hard to it's hard to grasp everything that you're saying, because there's so many gems of wisdom within what you're saying, and I think it would be easier, maybe, and this is just me. You know, I could be wrong. I'm sure Tony probably thinks I'm wrong. Maybe you think I'm wrong, whatever. But I just think it would be easier for people reading to kind of grasp onto what you're saying if there was something there to actually tangibly read. But that's up to you. It's your show, Kenny. I agree with what Johnny's saying. I think it would definitely help.
Okay.
And Ken, there's some kind of a Japanese person, Yakumo, who says that he agrees with Donnie. This would be a good idea. But then there's Doug, who's really longing for attention. He's just saying, snooze, snooze. He's really jealous he's not on the phone right now.
Snooze?
Well, maybe he'll come in.
I mean,
I don't know.
This is what bothers me about Doug. He's hated me from the beginning, right? I am now alcohol-free. I'm an AA. Every time I called, the last four or five times, I have been a straight arrow. I haven't gotten in any trouble. Because I'm trying to be a good man. Now he's saying snooze because I'm on here talking about the Lord and the scriptures? Kenny, why is that?
I have no clue.
That's what
the
show is about, is it not? It's not about, you know, keep making Doug entertained. It's about talking about the Lord.
Amen.
Doug is also very jealous when he doesn't get enough attention. He's jealous when other people get attention.
Well, Doug, why don't you call in? Call in and talk to Kenny. He will give you attention if you call in, but you got to call in.
For example, because Ken receives gifts. Ken gets gifts in the mail from his fans. He received a nice video camera, courtesy of me. He got some nice cigars, courtesy of me. He got a donation of $47.81, which he used to buy Bibles to hand out to the homeless. That was courtesy of me. And Doug, I think, is just jealous because he doesn't get freebies, free handouts.
That's fair. That's a fair statement.
Oh, okay. Doug has called in. Hold on. Let's bring him on. Hello, Doug.
That's not Doug.
Yeah, this is Doug.
Yeah, this is Doug. Why is he? That was
their,
that was their little impersonation before me. Can you hear me?
How's the jealousy? Yeah. How's the jealousy, Doug?
I'm not jealous.
Okay. Well, that was a good call. All right, ready to move on. Ken, who's next?
Yes.
Well, we've got...
let's move on. I'll just write the shotgun.
We've got no more callers.
The shotgun under your neck.
So, Doug, what did you think of the sermon, brother?
It was great.
Well, what was your favorite part about it? I mean, what part moved you?
All the parts of God.
But, yeah.
Doug,
you're an atheist. You're an atheist. You don't believe in any kind of God. So why would you say that you like the sermon?
Long time. Alcohol. Smash. Bash. I don't
what?
Care what you guys think. What do you think?
Unfortunately, your phone is breaking up, and we only heard the word smash and then alcohol and then kind of a sound.
I'm
so
Kilimanjaro.
I think
I heard,
dog
I heard
is
Kilimanjaro.
From inside a raccoon's rectum or something.
Oh, that reminds me of Banjo. He was
oh,
a
I'm
raccoon.
Sorry.
Okay. How's this? This better? I'm over by my picture window over the mountain.
Okay, buddy.
Okay.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Doug. Let's see what you got, buddy.
And
well,
you.
That, what?
You're on. Go. Okay.
Well, let me make up some lies. Johnny Longfeather, who is also Madeline Mittens and the Echo guy. And you want me to keep going on and on? Where's Sal? Where's Sal? J-Bo, where's J-Bo? Sal, huh?
Okay, that's not what this
my buddy.
Madeline,
we're
Madeline,
all buddies.
Madeline Mitten.
Let's
Madeline
go
Mitten
in Discord and be buddies.
You're jealous.
Hey, Kenny.
Let's make,
Kenny,
let's make
to,
fun of Doug.
Get back to the Bible, Kenny?
Let's make fun
Kenny.
Of Doug.
See?
Let's drive
Kenny,
Tony
to
Doug off the air.
Kenny.
Okay, hold on a minute. Yeah, let Don talk, Doug. Hold on. What'd you say, Don?
I just said, can we get back to the Lord and the Bible? I don't want to talk about any of this nonsense that Doug is bringing up here. It doesn't have anything to do with the show. Would you agree?
Yeah, let's talk about the Lord, Doug. Let's talk about
let's talk about the Lord and Savior, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Who shed his blood
whom you don't believe
on
in.
This earth. To save you pathetic trolls.
But you're an
trying
atheist,
to,
Doug.
Trying to lie and
wait,
say
Kenny,
that you believe in God when you
Kenny,
don't.
Kenny, this man is an atheist, Kenny. Why is he speaking
who
on
said
it?
That? When did I
you
say
said,
that?
Did.
You
did. You did.
Maybe I got saved. You ever think of that?
That would be quite Boom. That'd be quite a heel turn as wrestling fans would call it.
Okay, well, I'm not a wrestling guy, okay? I'm a real-life dude. And yeah.
Okay. Real
Do
in
I
what
sound
sense?
As smashed as I used to be? Huh?
Yes, yes.
I'm well, I'm still a belligerent ass. I admit that.
I hope you're not drinking.
Is that
though.
Why
I pray for you.
Yep. It's bad.
Oh, okay. No. We've got some more callers. Let me bring them on.
Thank God.
Okay,
amen.
Hold on. Okay, one, you're on the air.
Thank God.
Good evening, Kenny. What? Good evening, Kenny. This is Mike Hunt, celebrity personal trainer.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, I wanted to call in and let everybody know about the newest workout. It's called the Drunken Doug workout. It's where you abuse your wife, have sex with the dog, and then throw up. It's a great workout.
Amen. Very godly. That's very godly. See, I'm not godly, but you guys are.
Hold on. Wait. Let me ask you.
Amen. Godly men call this show.
Kenny, may I ask
Bring
a question?
Bring them on,
to,
Ken. Very Ken, godly.
Can I, oh, Lord have mercy. Kenny.
Yeah.
Kenny, can I ask a question to Michael? Michael, you still on the line? Not Michael Miles.
Go ahead,
other. Oh, yeah. I was if you do that workout, let's just say hypothetically you do that workout, what is the poundage that you would lose, you would say, like after a couple of those workouts? Would you lose would it be an initial weight loss, or would it be down the line?
I think you could lose probably about 10 pounds in a week, because with the Drunken Doug workout, you're vomiting so much because you drink so much. It's like an anorexic workout. That's why Doug looks so emaciated and skinny, kind of like a crackhead, but he's just a severe alcoholic.
Right. I know that. Yes. That's very – well, see, I pray for Doug with the alcoholism, because I'm going through it myself. I don't wish that on anybody. But as far as Doug goes, I mean, you know, hopefully he'll find the Lord, and he will, you know, he'll – I mean, workouts aside.
I already did.
You found the Lord? Was he in the bottle or at the bottom?
The bottom of the bottle, way down at the bottom.
You gonna let me
answer? I gotta bring on a caller here. Okay.
Okay.
I believe this is Mark. Hey, Mark, how you doing?
Kenny, you there?
Yeah.
Oh my God, Mark's on the line, brother. Mark called in.
Hey,
my man.
Hey, Kenny.
Yeah.
Great sermon tonight. It was a good job reading. I enjoyed it. Until Doug.
How'd you like the music? How'd you like the music, Mark?
How'd
you like the music, Mark?
Be quiet.
You kept complaining about the music, Mark. How'd you like that?
Kenny.
How'd you like the music,
Doug.
Mark?
Mute
you kept
Doug,
complaining
Kenny.
About it.
Mute Doug.
Hey, on
Kenny,
now.
So Mark can talk. Let Mark
Kenny,
talk.
Kenny,
hold on. Okay. Go ahead. Go ahead, Mark. Okay. I had to mute
Kenny.
Doug. Sorry. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Kenny.
Thank you. What I said about the music is it's time to update, get some new stuff. I wasn't complaining about it, Ken. Not by any means. I'm enjoying the show. I appreciate the show that you do, unlike some person who just shows up and harasses everybody.
Agreed.
And can I say something, Mark? I just want to say
I think it's
beautiful that you called in. I want to say to the listeners out there, nobody supports Kenny and his show more than Mad Mark does. And I'm a personal friend of Mad Mark. He's a good man, and he very rarely calls in. So this is a special occasion. And I just want to say thank you, brother. Thank you for calling in and showing support. I mean, it's really cool of you to do that. I know you're a busy man, but I really appreciate it. And I appreciate your support on and off the air, man.
Thank you, and good luck with your sobriety. You sound definitely good going forward.
Thank you.
Amen.
Brother. I really appreciate that. Really appreciate that.
Amen.
Kenny, don't you think Mark is
amen.
I mean, Mark is amazing. He's a good man. I mean, I have a lot of respect for the way Mark always defends you, Kenny. He defends you all the time, very supportive of your show. I mean, I think the world of him, and I hope you do too, Kenny, because he's a really good man.
Yes, I do. I think the world of Mark.
Amen.
Yes, I do.
Amen.
And then he sends gifts. He sends gifts to Ken.
And I got something for Ken I'm working on now. So, Kenny, you'll be getting a care package hopefully the beginning of next week.
Mm-hmm. Ferrari, don't you accept it. You let Ken get that, Tony.
we got another caller. Okay, let me see who it is. 111, you're on the air.
Good evening, Dr. Fishman. This is Dr. Peter Paul Ventura from Imperial Beach,
GPC.
California.
Hey, how
What's
you doing, Dr.
Well,
What's
I
up,
was
GPC?
Listening to the good evening, Dr. Don Cornelius, and good evening, Dr. Matt Mark and Dr. Longfeather. It is an honor to be here in this conversation and amongst
Amen.
Great
Amen.
Minds.
Amen.
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 And,
Amen. Amen. Actually, is Doug on as well? Okay.
Oh, he had,
yeah.
Yeah,
he
muted
is.
Him. We had to mute him.
You know he was. He hung up.
Well,
that's
too bad. You know, I talk about the sharp being as sharp as a marble, right? That poor Doug. We have to be tolerant of him, you guys. You know that we have to be tolerant. We have to be politically correct. We speak in politically correct. I'm very sorry. I'm stumbling over my words. If you saw what I saw down the hall, oh my gosh! If you saw what I saw,
what did you see? What did you see, DPB?
Well, it's my competition. They're It's another group of babysitters, and I was trying to recruit them for my babysitters club, and it's, oh my gosh, the rack on her. I mean the lovely hair on her. I'm sorry, just so sophisticated, so
wait,
right.
DPV, are we talking between the ages of 13 and 16? Is that the age limit there? Or what are we talking about?
I've actually expanded my horizons. I'm recruiting the 18 and under, or about to turn 18. So that's
wow.
Yeah, we're expanding. We are they'll still qualify. The way we do it is the age you are Valentine's Day. That's what we go off of. So if you're still 17 on Valentine's Day, you are definitely can be part of the Dr. Peter Paul Ventura Babysitters Club and training. And speaking of training, we fit everyone for their uniform, training bras included, underwear, specially made and designed by myself, with the similar to Victoria's Secret brand. I feel it and wash it and sniff it before and after, just to make sure that it's free of allergenics and whatnot. And but that's what I do. I care about my my employees and all my members. Speaking of my member, I care for it too. It's very important that we all take care of ourselves and our body and the people we're around. This is Dr. Peter Paul Ventura, and I approve this message. I approve of my Babysitters Club, and I approve of this great conversation amongst great men, great minds with great heads, and
Amen.
And that's amen. Yes.
Dr. Peter
yes.
Paul, can
amen.
I ask a question? I would like to ask a question about Peter Paul's his new baby. Oh, it's not new. I mean, he's been doing it for a while. I mean, he's got skin in the game for 30 years. But is the new location, is it in a wooded area?
We find that a wooded area is best for many reasons. To be one with nature.
Yes. Amen.
To be one with nature, to see what everything that was created. And not only that, if you've ever, you know the old saying, if the grass is green, play ball, have a picnic, make love, have violent sex, well, all that good stuff that makes America the great country it is today.
Amen. Beautiful.
Amen.
Yes, not and speaking of non-consensual sex, I went out on a date last night with just one of my babysitters, to help promote the new line. It was more of a, she invited me, so I picked up the tab and her skirt while I was out, and we had some conies. You know, this is what I told her, second best meat she's ever had, right? Because
did you, well, DPV, did you go to the blade at all, or did you not need the blade?
The blade is always ready, sharpened, and at the side of my hip. What I've been doing is, and this was something I learned in prison, I didn't have to pull out the, I always have a spare knife that I have taped to the, between my thigh and my taint. But I didn't have to go to that one, just my side piece. But
oh.
It's more of a conversation starter, an icebreaker, if you will, a net cutter.
Okay.
Kenny, what do you think of Dr. Peter Paul's methods? They're a little outside the box, but I think, you know, sometimes you have to think outside the box in this day and age. You know what I mean?
It's also inside the box.
Well, it's also inside the box. It's inside and outside. Really, it's all box encompassing. You know what I mean? It's inside, it's outside. It's just box encompassing. I think you just have to do that in these day and age. Would you agree, Kenny?
Yeah.
Amen.
Sprayed
Amen.
Across the back, too.
Okay. Amen. Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Hose him down.
All righty. Well.
Splooge.
Okay. Since we've got no more callers.
Kenny. Kenny, I had one more thing I wanted to ask you before you sign off.
Okay.
I've been working in conjunction with a few other people trying to locate Mr. Grover Washington. I know that I told you that
he called the show the other day.
I missed it?
Yeah, you missed it.
Lord have mercy. I've been trying to find Grover. I've heard a lot of stuff, but I haven't been able to locate him. Do you know where he is?
No, I don't, actually. He came in and said a couple things real quick, and then he left.
What'd he say?
Because
He just simply was talking about he got his thing caught in a vacuum cleaner.
What?
Are you sure that wasn't Doug?
No, that was Grover.
Oh, because
Kenny, let me get this straight. He got his meat stuck in a meat grinder.
No, the vacuum cleaner.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
Wait a minute. You telling me he tried to have coitus with the vacuum cleaner, Kenny? Oh, Lord, we got to find this, man. Because, listen, Kenny, he has got a severe, severe alcohol dependency problem. And I wanted to get him on the show. That's what I was bringing up. I'm trying to get him on the show so we can help him. I think, you know, if DPV is there and I'm there, somebody that's going through the AA situation right now and the steps and whatnot, and then Kenny being the godly man that he is that has all his experience with alcohol and drug-related stuff and being sober for so long, I think we could really help Grover. But I got to get him on the show, Kenny. I don't know how to find him. I'm trying to find him. I called down to Haven for Hope. He wasn't there. So maybe he's in the hospital.
I don't know. He was asking me how does he get it unstuck? And I said, turn off the vacuum cleaner.
That's a good idea.
Well,
I mean, it's a good starting point, I guess.
Yeah.
That's about right.
Well, Kenny, I guess my question was, you know, when I finally do locate Brother Grover, do you mind if we try to have, you know, as much of an intervention as you can have on a show? I mean, could we try to help the brother?
Yeah, we can do that.
Okay, thank you, Kenny. I appreciate you, brother.
Hey, Ken.
Yeah.
Have you told the people what you had for dinner tonight? Did you tell them?
No, I didn't think it was irrelevant.
Oh, well, it was a godly dinner. You should tell them what you had.
Oh, okay. I had tamales and fried eggs.
And you got these tamales. You got them from a store called Heeb. H-E-E-B.
H-E-B. H-E-B.
Oh.
No, not Heeb. H-E-B.
Never mind.
Heeb? That's kind of funny, Kenny. I'm sorry. I shouldn't laugh at that. Especially because
well,
you're Jewish.
There's nothing wrong with being called a Heeb.
What about if you're Jewish and you have a swastika tattoo? Is that okay? I mean, Dr. Peter Paul, would you say that's okay?
I would say it's okay, and here's why. It kind of reminds me of when a straight man puts anal beads in his rectum. That's considered a homosexual activity, but it's really just for pleasure. So you can do homosexual things and be the straightest man alive. This is Dr. Peter Paul Ventura, and I approve of that. I approve of anal beads.
He is really, I mean, Kenny, this man is he's a bastion of wisdom. And I every time I call in, I'm blown away by how intelligent he is and the things that he says. It really makes you think, Kenny, and I just have so much respect for Peter Paul. He's so great at what he does, and so, you know, this is just a great godless show. Thank you, Kenny. Thank you, Peter Paul, for sharing your messages, brother. You are the best.
Oh, we got another caller. Let me just take this caller here real quick. Okay. 111,
okay.
You're on the air.
Okay.
I'm a Nazi. Okay. Okay. Hail Hitler. Okay.
Is that Kenny?
Okay.
Kenny.
Okay.
No, that wasn't Kenny. That was somebody impersonating me.
They got the voice down. Pretty good.
That sounded, Kenny, that sounded just like you. He said okay.
Yeah, but it wasn't me.
All right.
I can't call
it
on my own show.
Well, maybe it was a recording, Kenny.
No.
Okay, well, I believe you, Kenny. You're a godly man. You're a godly man. I trust you, Kenny.
Well, Dr. Hitchman,
like
I believe we can.
An old episode.
I believe we can do anything we put our minds to.
Amen. I believe that too, DTV.
Dr. Fishman, were you did you say you grew up in Cuba and in the Southeast, or in remind me again? Have you ever visited the Southeast? Actually, you've been in Texas for a while. Here's what I like about Texas. They're very familiar with the Latino community, and here's why I respect them. You know, back in the good old days, we used to be able to, you know, when they had the Sweet 16 or their Quinceañeras, they used to, that's when the woman was. Yes, and back then that was when the woman was presented to society, and she was indeed a woman and ready and ripe for marriage. And I think we need to try to focus on the values and the quality of life that we had back then, when we were able to marry the young or have sexual intercourses and arousals with them. There was nothing wrong with that. It was a better time back in that day. And why can't we go back to the good old days? I think they're ready, and we need to keep tradition and the values. We need to bring them back in the home. That's what we need.
Amen.
That's what we need to focus on. So I'm going to promote that once this COVID is over. I'm going to start along with my babysitters club. Yeah, they're a group of friends, grown men, and we're going to start bringing quality back into the family and morals, and we're going to start marrying at the age of 15, when they're young, ripe, and not tainted by society and bad morals. while they're still pure, young, fresh, tight.
DPB,
warm, moist.
Are they
wet? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
First year.
No, I was just going to ask if being a virgin would be a requirement of these young 15-year-olds, or do you got to taste? Would you say you would like to taste the goods first?
Well, you know, there was an old saying: if she's old enough to bleed, she's old enough for me. But I think I can get this one. I think we can overlook this nowadays. But I would prefer something tight and ripe, if you will. I would like to be the first one to peel an orange.
Oh man, DPV is frisky tonight. I like it. I like it, DPV. You keeping it 100?
Okay,
on the show,
guys. I've got to put an end to it. Okay, because we're getting ready to end the show. So I want to say God bless everybody, all my callers. Okay, everybody in the chat room. Okay.
Thank you, Dr. Fishman.
God's will.
Come again this Thursday. We'll have another great sermon.
Is God's will?
I will definitely come again.
We will all come again, Kenny.
All righty.
I'm going to come again tonight.
God bless y'all.
Good evening. Good evening.
Somebody farting, Kenny. It smell awful. I can smell it through the phone, man. Nasty as hell.
Yeah, just Johnny.
This is Madeline Mitten. This is Madeline Mitten. Hi.
Uh-oh.
I'm Madeline Mitten. Hello.